This is CliffCentral.com.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the Burning Platform with Justice Malala, special election edition for today. And here he is. Let's not waste a moment.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
All right, Justice, it's a special busy day today for you. I'm sure you've got hundreds of appointments all over the place with Jeremy Maggs and Iman Rapeti and all the rest of them.
Iman Rapeti.
Rapeti, yes, sorry, I keep saying that. But today, for our pleasure and for the pleasure of our listeners, you are here with us to help us figure out what the hell's going on with these elections.
What is going on?
First of all, I have to compliment you on an excellent piece you wrote earlier this week about how this is the most boring election campaign, the most stultified, dull, uninteresting, uninspiring, miserable election campaign you've seen in ages.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, because, you know, I got into so much trouble with so many politicians at the IEC Results Center this week. How can you say that we did this? But is there anything we haven't seen from this election campaign?
You criticized all the parties. You said that the ANC, obviously, I mean, their problems are the most obvious. We don't need to go into that.
Well, I mean, look, this is the ANC. That's a party of science and rationality.
Sure,
and
it's when you bring the ancestors into it.
It's the ancestors will do this to you if you don't vote ANC. I mean, really, it was the bottom of the barrel, and it was being scraped so hard. I thought, you know, it's going to burst any minute now.
We tried to get as many ANC people on as we had EFF and DA people on. And in the run-up to the elections, the party leader of the EFF came, to his credit. Mm. So I had Julius in here a week before elections.
Yeah.
Campaigning hard. I had Buyiseni in here as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've obviously this year spoken to Dali, to Floyd, to all of them. The DA was happy to supply Musi Maimane, John Steenhuisen, Herman Mashaba. So we've really spoken to as many of the DA people as we could as well. ANC, I threw out lines left, right, and center. And David Makura said he's very interested in coming. Paul Mashatile said he's very interested in coming. Panyaza Lesufi, Parks Tau. So some really good people in the Gauteng ANC in particular who were keen to come and then sort of never got back to us because I suddenly realized they didn't have anything to say. And anything they did say would get them into trouble.
Why is it the ANC, the so-called leader of society, is running so scared? It's been an interesting part for me of this election campaign that the ANC in many ways wanted to control the media and wanted to control its media. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you're going to ask tough questions, if you're going to ask about anything about whether President Zuma was going to, President Zuma's scandals and reputation was going to have an impact on its showing in this election, then you weren't going to get an interview. It's been extremely hard to get any kind of play from the ANC. So you've seen an ANC essentially which has not been around. It will post some stuff on social media, but from a defensive point of view, Jesse Duarte was at the Results Center last night in an interview with a radio station, and she said, "Yes, you people are negative," and that's essentially been the being the stance from the ANC, that you hate us, you don't talk to us, and so forth. I saddled up to one ANC leader last night, and she gave me such a dirty look, I didn't even start to open my mouth. Mm. You know, and so I'm grateful for people like Jackson Mthembu, who I think remains one of the most open, most communicative ANC leaders you can have. In the run up to this election, you've seen an ANC that's walked away from the field. But you know, in terms of the election campaigns generally, I think for me, I'll continue to ask, where was the imagination in this election campaign. Well, I think the EFF on Monday rushing off and getting pictures of themselves smiley and hugging with Thabo Mbeki.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about?
it was a bit of ambush marketing, I think. I think it was a glimpse of what the EFF has done.
Well, here's Julius to explain.
Well, thank you very much. We came here to visit our former president. As you will all know, that we are doing election work. We came to canvass the vote of former President Mbeki. And former President Mbeki gave us a very, very positive response, because he said his vote is secret. And therefore, we are leaving here confident that the issues raised with him will convince him to do the right thing on the 3rd of August.
Except then the next day he met with all the ANC people and wore the ANC jacket, and now we're all confused.
We're all confused. But, I mean, let's talk a bit about that. What is it about? It's interesting for me that the EFF, which was formed after Julius Malema and the ANC Youth League leadership at the time, were thrown out of the ANC in 2013, and went on to fight the 2014 election. That it's the ANC Youth League of then, which is an offshoot of the ANC, which has become the EFF, which has become a party on its own with a life and policies of its own, that they left. Then you had, then you have the ANC in Gauteng. The ANC in Gauteng has been interesting. Think about it. They've had Mavuso Msimang on the campaign trail. He said, "Where Jacob Zuma, the ANC leadership, it's rubbish." Think about Kgalema Motlanthe on Sunday in the City Press saying, "There is no leadership. People are saying this country is on autopilot." Okay? Now, that is the former president of South Africa, the former general secretary and deputy president of the ANC, saying, "People are saying that the country is on autopilot." So, my little theory is this. The ANC in Gauteng is not at all happy with the ANC nationally. We know that. We've discussed that.
Right.
Paul Mashatile, Pope Papo, all the leadership in this province are essentially saying, these guys are doing damage to our campaign. And now there's the EFF, which also got kicked out for raising the same issues. And both of them are fighting over Thabo Mbeki, because it wasn't Jacob Zuma rushing on Tuesday morning to go and meet Thabo Mbeki.
I don't think he would have let him in his house.
That could have been a story, yeah?
turned away at the gates.
It wasn't Mzwandile Masina, who is known as and serves as a deputy minister in the cabinet, who is known as a Jacob Zuma fan, didn't make it for the Thabo Mbeki interview. Togo Didiza, who used to be a Thabo Mbeki fan but is very much entrenched in the Jacob Zuma ANC now, didn't make it for that meeting with Thabo Mbeki on Tuesday morning. So what's happening here is that the Gauteng, the Johannesburg ANC, packs down, pitches up for the meeting with Thabo Mbeki, and puts on Thabo Mbeki's shoulders a nice black Johannesburg region ANC jacket. So the ANC in Gauteng and the EFF nationally seem to be fighting over the legacy of one man, with the legacy which the ANC nationally has said in 2008, this man is terrible, he's bad, kick him out, he's not good enough for us, and so forth and so forth. So my theory is that the ANC in Gauteng and the EFF are one and the same thing. They agree, they're fighting over the same votes. If you look at the battle for Johannesburg now, the battle for Tshwane, it's essentially the EFF and the ANC trying to cut up the pie between themselves. But generally, they agree on one, number one must go. They agree on a lot of policies. It's how you achieve them that they don't agree on. So I actually think if someone in the ANC in Gauteng were to say to the EFF, look, guys, the two of us agree broadly on certain things. Maybe we could work together in government, in municipalities where we could co-govern. I think it could be an easier, conversation than if Jacob Zuma called Julius Malema. No, I don't think it will even be dialed, that number. But if
I don't think they even have each other's cell numbers.
But Justice, hasn't Julius gone on to say publicly that there will never be a coalition between themselves and the ANC?
I think the ANC that we know, Julius and others totally detest, is the one led by Jacob Zuma. Can you say for sure that the ANC in Gauteng is led by Jacob Zuma?
No, definitely not.
I mean, look at that last weekend. You had the same guy who says the ANC is on autopilot. Ahmed Kathrada in April wrote a letter saying, President Zuma, just do the right thing and step down. And what was he doing this past week? He's been out there, not for the ANC, but for the ANC in Gauteng. And I think it's a powerful thing that's going on here. So I think there is possibility for a conversation, certainly. I don't know if the national ANC would allow the Gauteng ANC to go in with the EFF, but where power is contested. And at the moment, I'm loath to start saying who's winning, who's losing. But, by the end of today, we'll have some very clear ideas about what is going on here and who needs to talk to who. And I think there is a small possibility for a conversation, even if Julius Malema has said that there is no way that the EFF, and we said in Ndlozi and Dali Mpofu have said the same thing. That said, as Julius Malema referred to on Monday, politics is politics.
What does that mean?
It means he's opened the door to change his mind as quickly as he declared.
Okay,
he did say that one day he would kill for Jacob Zuma. And here we are talking about him saying, we'll never, ever jump into bed with that man. So yeah,
basically, Mubs, everything we say isn't necessarily what we do. The rule for politicians always applies.
Yeah.
Justice, the hotly contested areas, early exit polls showing that it's pretty much going the way that we thought it would go, where it's going to be a very close-fought race in Gauteng. It's going to be a close-fought race in Nelson Mandela Bay, but less so, likely to be a DA council there. Western Cape, very much for the DA. Places like Mpumalanga, strong for the ANC, right?
Yeah. Look, you know, one of the things I think about the metros that I'm going to be very careful about today is to, you know, a ward, a voting station might be struggling to get its counting done. It might be a big one, and that's the reason why it's taking long to count the people at that station and so forth and get its results in. Also, you'll know this morning, for example, that at the Joburg Results Center, a lot of people have arrived, a lot of polling station agents have arrived with the results, saying we've got the results and we've filled in all the, we've done all the paperwork, but the process to actually get to give it over to the IEC, get it verified and audited, and our work here is done, is taking long. So you could have, as we have been talking about the past 2 months, a close call at this point. But it could swing because, boom, a huge number of votes come in, say from Alexandra Town, a voting station in Alexandra Township, or in Sandton and so forth and so forth.
Well, I mean, there's some of these municipalities, they only 300 or 400 votes.
Exactly.
That make up the whole municipality.
Exactly. You know? And one of the things, I mean, if you look at yesterday, the first count to come in from the Great Kai something, it was oh, the DA has 130, what was it, for 35, yeah. I can't remember what the number was, 55%, I think it was. And it was a voting station of 22 people. So, you know, I think this evening will be a much better picture. But I think Tshwane, Joburg, Nelson Mandela Bay, certainly it's contested. You look at the bits and pieces that are coming through. I don't think that narrative has changed at all. It's still hot. It's still, people are sitting there saying, what's going to happen here? Because I certainly don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, if you want to talk about winners and losers, We can start talking about who are the winners in this election. The winners by far are the EFF, because they've never fought the local election. Right. So already there's some a voting station in Rustenburg that's come through earlier today, I think at about 5 or so, and it's an EFF voting station that's right. The EFF has won there. So if you're going from zero, you're showing some gains. That here in Tshwane, in some of the results that have come in, they're showing 10%, 11%. That's a doubling of the national take that they had in 2014. So those guys, I think, continue to show, that they could even double their take from the last time. From our last election in 2014. But whatever happens, if you're the EFF spin doctor, your job is much easier than the ANC spin doctor and the DA spin doctor.
Right. Because you'll have incremental gains or losses on either part. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, look at it. If you're the DA, the DA, a new leader, Musi Maimane, he's the messiah, he's going to save us, we've always wanted a black leader, and so forth and so forth. If the DA doesn't show growth of, say, 5-6 percentage points from the 22% take in 2014, then, you know, it would be, what was this all about? Oh, we need a new black leader and so forth. Maybe this wasn't about race and color and so forth. So if he doesn't get there, I think it would have, it would, if the EFF doesn't grow seriously in this election, for Musi Maimane, it would be a big loss. Mm-hmm. And I think the EFF, the DA, will have to begin a new conversation. Now, that conversation is being made harder by people like Helen Ziller, for example, with some of the stuff she was tweeting.
What did she tweet?
She tweeted last night that if people, so independent newspapers, I think, in Cape Town, the Cape Times, had young people from UCT and from the Fallist movement come and contribute to the election coverage, and they wrote something about how their experience of UCT is not quite the same as students from well-off backgrounds or from white students. Anyway, so she then took a picture and said, actually, if you don't like it at UCT, just, you know, someone should take away
their... I see. If they hate being UCT students so much, please help them out of their misery and withdraw their funding.
Exactly. Now, you know, this is the sort of thing, unfortunately, which used to... Which so many... It was just such a bad stance to take. And so on Twitter, she's being lambasted left, right, and center. And I think rightly so. A leader doesn't say, oh, because you don't like it here, then bugger off. You say, can we talk about it and see what the problem is here? Not go away. So, you know, that's not helping. Thankfully for Musi Maimane, it happened after 7 p.m.
So the polls have closed.
because it would have been a big problem. So I think the whole opposition project with the DA, if the DA doesn't grow in the results that we'll see later on, then, you know, the DA has a big problem and a new conversation to be had. And I think a key chunk of that conversation will be Lindiwe Mazibuko. If, however, Musima Amane's leadership has grown the party from 22% of the entire take to, say, 28-30%, then he's done. He's finished here, because he'll have done as good, as well as, or better than Tony Leon. He'll have done as well as, or better than Helen Zille. And so that ghost is off his back, and he can now move on and try and build a
so
new DA.
Would Lindiwe then still be in the running for something at the DA? Because she was very critical of the party once she'd gone overseas and was doing her studies, and she suddenly revealed all these revelations about what the problem with the DA is.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, one of the things about it was that she was expressing views of quite a biggish chunk of the DA leadership, MPs, for example. I think that conversation would have come back powerfully, or will come back powerfully if the DA doesn't do well, because all those issues about has the DA itself transformed enough to attract the black middle classes, for example, and so forth, will become center stage again. There will be a period of huge self-examination in the DA about what do we need to grow? Because remember, the DA is like a bank. It's become it's good at mergers and acquisitions. So it merged with the National Party in the late 90s. It merged with, it swallowed up the ID in the run up to the 2004 election. So you look at Patricia de Lille. We don't talk about this enough, but Patricia de Lille comes from the PAC. So she used to stand there and say, "Drive them into the sea,"
right?
Meaning the whites. she used to be ID and went for essentially played a bit of colored card, if you will, in the Western Cape, and got quite a big chunk of voters out for her. And then she's now with the DA. So again and again, the DA has gone for other parties, swallowed them up, kept some elements of those parties, or spewed some of them out. Its biggest challenge is that there's only so many mergers and acquisitions you can do. You need to go and get your own people from other parties, not through swallowing those parties up, but by attracting their members. And so that the Musima Amane period of the DA is about that. It's about now you need to attract people on the basis of your stance and so forth, not by you know, maybe having a conversation with the now defunct NFP and so forth. So that period is over, and it will be whether he grows the party or not. If he doesn't, then I think that would trigger it. So I think it's a key election for Musima Amane and his leadership of the DA, and for the DA itself as an opposition project. What is there room in South Africa for that sort of opposition, and so forth?
All right, there are a couple of areas that I want us to look at over the next few days, and I'm sure you'll be looking at them too. The first one is Rustenburg, with the EFF making a massive stand there.
Yeah.
Obviously, very heartfelt support from people in Marikana who believed that Dalim Pofu would come to their rescue, that Julius has made many appearances there. They don't want the president anywhere near them. He has avoided them like the plague. So there will be certain wards in the northwest in Rustenburg that will not be going the way that they always have been.
Well, we've already seen that with that one voting station.
Right.
So, you know, Marikana wasn't just the fact that 34 of our people were killed by our own police service. And I say service, not force, service. It was also
how callous the reaction was.
Exactly. Yeah. The humanity of the South African state and its leadership. There is still only one government leader who went to those the people of Marikana and said, "We are sorry." And that's to her credit, Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula. President Jacob Zuma, Cyril Ramaphosa, the entire cabinet did not once show any kind of, I feel your pain. Not you're right or you're wrong and you are armed, you are unarmed and da da da. I feel your pain because fathers have been lost here. Families have been devastated. So you know, that will remain a big stain on the ANC's moral conscience. It will remain a big stain on the ANC's leadership of this country and in the Northwest as well. So I think, you know, traveling over the past 2 weeks, I've been to the Northwest, particularly the Marikana area twice, mm-hmm. and I have been amazed by the EFF's concentration in those mining communities. It's put up posters. It's sent its senior leadership there. It's really gone out of its way to make that area an EFF area. That voting station in Rustenburg that it's won this morning, I think is a reflection of things to come. I think that particularly in that area, it might not win. I'm not saying it's going to win, but I think it is going to see quite significant growth and set itself up and its rhetoric as you know, a representative of the poor for that to become a major issue, not just now. But I think whether you have by-elections in some of these places, but also for 2019. Mm. And, you know, you've already seen that conversation begin. If you listen to Julius Malema at the gala dinner on Saturday, he was all about, oh, it's not just about these local elections. We are going for 2019 now. And I think, you know, I know Ben thinks that it's over. We're going to relax. There's no election anymore. It's all going to be play some music, you know, take a holiday, go to Paris.
Politics never stops.
Oh, it's never stopped. And so the election campaign for 2019 has started.
All right. The other places I want us to look at, interesting, Buffalo City, East London, which we've kind of counted out because it's not one of the major cities. And it was always about 70% ANC, so it was very strong for the ANC.
Yeah.
Current and very early polls, which obviously are not an indication, but they are showing about a 50% for the ANC.
Now, you know, I don't know if you've been to the former East London, Nelson Mandela Bay.
Buffalo City.
Buffalo City now. You know, there's been a major issues there. The whole of the Eastern Cape has massive issues. So, you know, health and so forth, many of them provincial administration issues, but local issues have been a big thing. And so, in Buffalo City, the ANC there has been absolutely divided. There was a time, I think last year, when the ANC in Buffalo City was marching on the ANC in Buffalo City. That's, I think 4,000 ANC members marched on the ANC.
But driving Buffalo through City. That city, it looks like it's really falling to pieces. It doesn't look like a very happy place. There's no development anywhere. It's sliding backwards. Shops are closed. Windows are broken.
Buildings are being hijacked. The seafront, the waterfront area in
it's horrible.
It's terrible. And this is where people should be making. If you think about it, what do we have in this country? We used to have gold. Well, the gold price comes back and goes. We used to have all sorts of minerals that we were mining, platinum, da da da. Mm-hmm. The bottom's fallen out of all commodities prices. Mm-hmm. And so, what do we have? We've got mountains, sea, nice weather. Tourism should be pumping in East London. Tourism should be pumping in PE. Should be pumping in Cape Town. Oh, yes, it is, but that's not run by the ANC. So if you think about it, a major opportunity is being lost. And I think people are beginning to say, what's going on there? The biggest job you can try and get for yourself if you're in the Eastern Cape is to get out of the Eastern Cape now. And that's just not right.
Well, they have seen population numbers decline in that province.
Exactly. And that's people saying, you know, I'm going to vote with my feet. So I think Buffalo City, we haven't focused on it at all in much of the conversations. But I think if that is a trend from what we're seeing this morning, even if the ANC retains Buffalo City, it will be with a far smaller majority. And the conversations that we've been having about Nelson Mandela Bay, where the ANC, think about the devastation for the ANC in Nelson Mandela Bay. In 2004, the ANC had 70%. Okay? Take that 10 years later, it's at 51.7% in Nelson Mandela Bay. From 70 to 51, it's devastating. So even as we look at the numbers now, and you know, someone like me is worried about, oh, let's not look at them, let's not make any conclusions. I don't know how you turn such a tide around from 70 in 10 years to 51.7.
But Danny, you're done. and he says, by the way, that he doesn't have any arrest warrants against him. That's so it's not true that he hasn't been flying because he's scared he'll be arrested. I saw an interview last night on ENCA. He's not worried at all.
Yes,
but he won't step on a plane.
How many people exactly were thinking about this when they went to vote yesterday, whether they will have a fantastic, gorgeous, incredible Superman mayor like Danny Jordan, and thinking, what if he gets arrested? Well, I might as well go for the other guy. I think that Danny Jordan candidacy of Nelson Mandela Bay and his one-year tenure as Nelson Mandela Bay has been fantastic and accursed at the same time, because you think about it, the day he comes in is the day that the FIFA scandal breaks. Loretta Lynch says, I'm looking for these people, mm-hmm. and South Africa is a major focus. So, you know, I don't think, given the stories that have plagued him, the fact that the story broke the day before the election, that he's got, you know, if things are so lovely and hunky-dory there, why does he have two of the best, some of the best lawyers in South Africa representing him, speaking to some of the best lawyers in the United States of America, linking up to do this? So he's certainly worried, and he's, of course, innocent until proven guilty.
All right, so we've got Rustenburg, we've got Buffalo City. We're obviously going to look at Dekwini, because they're also, the ANC's been split. The other place that I think might be interesting to look at, Midvale, because it was such a cause of concern and dissension in terms of possible vote rigging and all the rest in the last elections. But also Beaufort West, because Truman Prince is such a factor there. And, you know, they were ANC, but then the DA took over, then the DA, most of their councillors crossed the floor again. We don't know what's going on, but it looks like at this stage, 5 out of 7 of the municipalities there, or rather the wards there, have handed in their results, and it looks like it might have swung to the DA.
Well, I mean, that's a conversation to be had, because how long will the people of Beaufort West continue to suffer the ANC's indulgence of the corruption of Truman Prince? You'll remember Truman Prince, Mabale? Truman Prince is that lovely man who actually wrote a letter saying this tender must go to Company X, run by Ben, because Ben is going to give the money to the ANC.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. Nothing happened. Truman Prince is out and about. And
did he deny writing the letter?
No, he didn't deny it. He didn't deny it. It wasn't. He actually. But you know, so it's okay. I forgive him. I absolutely forgive him for what he did with that letter. Okay, it was stupid, but I forgive it, because all of us every so often behave very stupidly. But the history is so bad. This is a man who was caught on camera by a special assignment at the SABC. 10 years ago, more. Soliciting sex from young underage girls. This it's shocking. But hey, you know, he came back. He got the, he ran around. He got the people's votes. When the ANC couldn't deal with him, he went and won the municipality on his own. And so the ANC thought, oh, we'd much rather work with him than without him. So we'll just do it. So, you know, this, it's not indulgence. This, it's okay thing. Always comes back to bite you, because people might be stupid in one election, might be stupid in another election. They won't be stupid in all elections all the time. And this is a classic case of that happening. And so that time has come. The ANC can't allow this sort of thing. So if it's gone DA, I'm not seeing the numbers in front of me, but you have them there. I think it's... you know, it's the chickens are coming home to roost.
Are there any places that I haven't mentioned that you think we should also look at?
Well, I think it's one for the books, Midval, because it was highly contested, mm-hmm. and the DA there had made a big thing of Midval, that, you know, it's got a lot of investment, that it's the best run municipality. Then a narrative came up that, yes, you're talking about Midval, but what about the informal settlements that have sprung up.
I love the way that informal settlements are an issue whenever the DA wins a municipality, but they're perfectly okay if the ANC is in charge of a municipality. Exactly. I mean, there are lots of parts of Gauteng, for example, where we have these informal settlements.
Yes. And, Nelson Mandela places can we
exactly
have?
I mean, there's one big township outside of Nelson Mandela Bay that's just never been given any attention.
Exactly. And I think that was part of that narrative was very powerful in the run-up to this election, that, you know, oh, the DA says this and so forth. And it's interesting for me that it's managed to retain quite convincingly, it looks like, that municipality. And I think there is something that there might be a trend that's emerging here, and one that trend might be of voter turnout. I'm interested to see, in traditionally strong DA areas, the DA seems to have managed to have got its core voters out to vote. There are many instances where I think the ANC couldn't convince its core voter to go out and vote for it. And I think that's where the loss for the ANC, it's that people have swung to the DA and the EFF, yes, but also that there are many others that a silent, maybe not a majority, but a silent big chunk.
Well, I met a guy yesterday in the gym after voting, and he said to me, I said to him, you know, I see you haven't voted yet, you're going to go later. He said, and he said he's always been a traditional ANC supporter. Yeah. And I said to him, but you know, you won't vote for an opposition party. He said, no, mm-hmm. but I won't go.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Yeah. You're pointing out something that's very, very interesting.
I think there is a lot of silent protesters out there. I was surprised by not the same kind of thing, but the number of people who I come out of there and say, oh, look, I voted, and da-da-da, it's fantastic. Mm. This, you know, I get all weepy with elections. Maybe it's just because of I'm boring and so forth. But I get all weepy, and a lot of people are saying, yeah, no, I voted every election since 94, and I'm not voting this time because I don't know who to vote for, but the ANC, as it is, I can't. And I think that voter turnout trend is something that will tell us a few stories about what's happening here, what's happening with ANC support. Because if, say, in Tshwane, the EFF and the DA managed to get their voters out to the polls, and the ANC's base didn't go out, then you might see a swing. But with a lot of key core ANC voters staying home. And I think that might be a big factor in these elections when we look at those trends later on today and tomorrow. And so, you know, the swing might be that disillusionment with the ANC is high, but people haven't moved just yet. And that sets up a big conversation for 2019. So as a scene setter, That turnout story will be interesting to look at. The DA and the EFF have run some serious kind of get your people out there. The ANC has been very traditionalist in the way it has marketed itself, and so maybe it hasn't managed to get its people out. I was interested that, you know, there was an ANC bus at my voting station taking people around if you're not registered in one place or the other.
Hmm.
And you've got having problems, you have to go to a different voting station, then they would put you on the bus and take you around. There was no one getting on the bus.
Oh, really?
Yep. It waited and waited. No one getting on the bus. Maybe people were taking their own transport, fair enough.
That's interesting.
But it was interesting.
Now, one last thing. How's your former voting district, Hammanskraal, looking? I mean, have we got any early results in there?
I haven't seen Hammanskraal flashing up on the screens at all.
What was the case for them last time?
Hammanskraal, my brother, you know...
Because we've had problems there as well.
We've had big problems there. But Hammanskraal is a traditionally ANC area, very strong, very has always been. You know, the outgoing ward councillor for my mother is someone I grew up with, and he had 98% of the vote and he's an ANC guy. Mm-hmm. So. The ANC has been very strong there, but the ANC has been very divided. And the EFF, I will tell you, has been in the Tshwane area. I'm looking forward to seeing the final tally. The EFF has been very, very active in those parts. But that said, I need to say the COP was very, very active.
COP?
In 2009 in that
it didn't
election.
Do very much for them, did it?
Well, it did very well for them in some parts of Tshwane, but not in all of Hammanskraal. EFF, it will be interesting to see what happens with their numbers there. But I haven't seen any numbers from any. I see in Harangua, the ANC has a few voting stations have come through, but that's a bit north of a bit south of Hammanskraal. But it's in the same belt.
See, people Mabupai. Also have to realize that Tshwane municipality is a huge district.
Tshwane municipality is a huge district. It's a district that went from being, you know, your average. It's swallowed up huge chunks of the former Northwest. It swallowed up in the last election a whole municipality, Metswedinya Taimane. So this municipality has now become from, is it 2,000 square kilometers, I think? Mm. To 6,000 square kilometers, just over 6,000 square kilometers. It is the second biggest municipality.
Was there a bit of gerrymandering going on around there?
Let's put it on the table. In Hammanskraal, the ANC in 1994 probably got 99.99999999%. Okay. The ANC in Tshwane was losing support. So Hammanskraal was in the former Northwest. What does the demarcation board do? It takes all of Hammanskraal and boom, puts it in Tshwane. So what is this? This is cynical. You're saying, Pretoria is Centurion, it's largely white and largely a bit of too much former National Party, DA, and so forth.
Right.
So we're going to get some black ANC voters into this municipality. So then you put those guys in, but it doesn't quite do the trick. So in 2011, in the run-up to 2011, you find a way to take Metswedinya Taimane, which is the former Kalinan, which is very strong ANC, you bang it into Tshwane. And now you've got a problem. You've got a massive municipality whose books aren't balancing, by the way.
No, they're insolvent.
And the people that you thought are going to guarantee you success are not voting for the ANC anymore. So what are we going to see in the run-up to the next local election in 2021? Are we going to see a big chunk of Limpopo being incorporated into Tshwane just to keep the level up?
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see. So, you know, I've smelled the rat about the city of Tshwane for a long time, and it will be interesting to see what happens next.
All right, Justice, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a very busy morning, but there will be more to come. And I'm sure that we'll want to talk to you again either early next week or tomorrow. But yeah. There's lots to speak about. As the results start pouring
lots
in, we'll know
lots,
more.
Lots and lots. I think overnight will be big.
Awesome. Justice Malala, The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's every Thursday. Today, a special extended edition because the elections happened just yesterday. And we will bring you everything that you've expected from this show and a whole lot more over the next couple of hours when the election results start coming in. Very good. Thank you. Justice.
Burning Platform. Fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.